Welcome back. Before we begin getting into what I feel God has put in my heart to share with you, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for drawing us together to worship you, drawing us together to pray, to seek you out. Father, in this time, use it to get us to reflect, to dig deeper, to be more open to your Spirit working in and through us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe. Give us the courage to follow where you lead. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Again, we lift up your world. We lift up your church. We pray your will be done. Be glorified now. We pray this in your Son's beautiful name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. Again, we understand this new schedule, and hopefully it's working out for you. Trying to be as clear and concise as for the whole church, whether we're in person or online, and so we appreciate your flexibility in that. Last several months, I've been asking you to consider, how are you growing in the Lord? How are you knowing him clearer, knowing him deeper, knowing your story in God's story? How are you living into the reality that God has for you and for me? And so one of the ways that I kind of point to this is that looking at this image of this, again, the seedling coming out of the soil, helping us imagine again, where are we growing in him? Now, he designed us to grow in him. It's not automatic. Like looking at nature, so there's some things that grow, we call weeds, that grow automatically that we don't want. Those are things in our lives easily. It could be bad habits and things like that. And then there's those things in life that we really want to see grow, but it takes discipline, it takes time, it takes energy, it takes maybe some sacrifice. Maybe we have to maybe turn off the TV or put away our devices or get up earlier or something that we can use to cut out a time, a space, that we can be more present, we can seek the Lord. And I hope and pray that this will be a challenge that you can understand that in order to do God's work, we need to first be with God and learn to be in step with him. And as we do that, we'll begin to flourish. We'll begin to be the people again God wanted us to become all back in the day. But as we seek him, we're not going to, it doesn't happen in a moment. It doesn't happen even in a season. It's something that God does over the course of a lifetime. And no matter what age you're in or where you find yourself and what age, season of life, know that God is not done. As long as you're breathing, he wants to help you grow up and flourish in him. In fact, I know he wants you to flourish in him because you're here. if you didn't feel led to flourish in him, you wouldn't be here. God would not draw you to him, but he wants you to connect with him, to live out the life you've been given by staying connected with what God is doing in you and in the world, to bring relationship all together. But in all honesty, we need to be transparent here that we have to acknowledge there are areas in our lives that as we grow, as we start to flourish, he's going to bring these icebergs to our attention. It could be from something we read, maybe something, a fear, a memory, something that he's going to bring to us that we're going to see, or a temptation even, that we're going to have to navigate around. You don't go through the iceberg. You don't pretend the iceberg's not there, or you can get sunk. But those icebergs, again, on the top, so small, and yet the dangers underneath. And for us not to be sunk, we have to surrender and submit. We have to, whatever we're facing, know that God already knows about it. It's not that he's going, oh, wow, okay, I forgot. I didn't even see that coming. No, he knows. So it's when he brings it to our attention, he wants to help us through it, around it. He wants us to deal with it, to address it. And in my experience, it's been those moments where he takes us to this anvil, and it sounds so hard, it sounds so painful, and it is at times, but we're being tested by God, but he's doing it to remind us that our function and task is to be about his business. And in order to do that on a consistent basis, you and I, we have to have things that he's got to shape us into. We don't have those skills, we don't have those disciplines yet. And so it's important that you and I lean in and not pull back, that when he lets the fires in our lives heat us up, he wants to let him get hot enough so that we're moldable and shapeable. But if we don't allow him, that when the difficult times happen, we're not able to handle the race that we've been called to run. And so you and I have to have daily moments where we cut out again time, where we're filled and renewed, that we're drinking deeply from the reservoir that God provides through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through knowing Jesus, through Scripture, through community of other believers. But you and I need this, and we need regular times of refreshment. We've been digging into Romans and looking into how Romans was a real place in a real time. Again, these are God's people trying to be about God's business. And Paul is trying to help bring unity with all these different church groups. The church in Rome had these small, like, church, we understand it to be that these home gatherings, kind of like small groups kind of thing, right? They have these small micro expressions of church. And because of the context of the situation, the previous like 10-12 years, the Jews had been pretty much kicked out by the Roman government, by the Caesar at the time. He thought they started a fire, and so he's like, that's it, all the Jews, you're out. And so they were expelled. Well, the next Caesar comes in, and he allowed them to come back, and so remove that barrier. And so they come back, and now we have these Christian Jews, these Jewish people that have accepted Jesus as their Messiah, that are still living into what it means to be Jewish, right, and still an observant Jew. And then you have these non-Jewish, these Gentile Christians that are living in relation with Jesus and yet having no connection to the law. And so they're trying to figure out, how do we move forward? Does one group have to just forget everything they did and now they just join the other group? Is there a blend? Like, how does this all work? And so a great challenge for all of us, even to today, in how do we deal with conflict? How do we deal when we don't agree with each other? How do we deal with two really opposing views of again, life? And seeing how Paul works through this, he's trying to, again, help them understand who we are in Jesus, our identity in him, and our hope and our future in him. And how do we move forward in that so that we can be about God's business? And sometimes we can make it all about us, right? We see this one little spot that God needs to work on, we realize, and he's like, good, but I want all of you, right? We talked about that last week. And so he wants to really help us really flourish in every area of our lives. But again, he's dealing with real challenges. And so Paul, we're jumping in, first six chapters we covered last few weeks. Paul is going to talk about, again, how we're no longer under the law, the law served its purpose. It helped bring clarity that we were all so far from God that we didn't know how far away we were until we actually lean into it or discovered what the law said. Didn't know that I was coveting until the law said, listen, you're coveting when you do this and you shouldn't do it. Oh man, now I'm really struggling because now I really want it because they told me I didn't want it. You know, so he's like, listen, the law is not bad because it shows us our brokenness, our sin, our rebellion. The law did its job, is to show us how much we need rescue. And you and I still need rescue today. Many of us are not observant Jews who are either watching this or being a part of this. No, we're not. And yet, we're still in the same situation that our Jewish brothers and sisters are in. And that is, they need rescue, we need rescue. When we compare ourselves to the standard God has for us, we have no chance. No, it's greater chasm than the Grand Canyon. It's greater than if we were trying to just jump and touch the moon with just our power. No, it's bigger than that. And it's something that we can't overcome. But here, he tries to help us understand that we're not under the law anymore. We can take refuge and that we can have life in the Spirit. That life in the Spirit is something that what a gift from God. What a glorious gift that it's not just what we try to do on our own, that we're just trying to kind of muscle through and we just got to just try to follow all these rules. We have all these, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, known as the 10 commandments. And then from there, we make a whole bunch of other rules of do's and don'ts. So we keep those 10 and then we can be overwhelmed. We can get very legalistic or moralistic kind of thing. And it's not that laws are bad or morals are bad in any way. But that's not the way in that Jesus has for us. And that is, we can have life and freedom and wholeness. And again, find out whose we are and who we are in the Lord. And in doing that, we can walk and live into this present future. That this future that's coming and meeting us here in our present context. It's a beautiful painting that he gives. And then he talks about God's justice. Paul even shares his own struggle over his brothers and sisters that are Jewish that are just not getting it. And he's like, man, I would take it upon myself. I would be cursed from God if they would come to know him, because he's just so amazing. Because he loves his brothers and sisters, and so he wants that. He loves his family. But in that, he says, you know, but God knows what he was doing, and he still provides a way back. And it's in trusting in Jesus. It's not that they have to get it all right. It's not that they have to know all the right prayers. It's even though they have this unbelief, or even though they just can't wrap their minds around this Jesus, this new king, this new Messiah, but God's justice for the whole world will put the world back to rights. And so in here, there's so many great things in Paul that there's several verses throughout Romans that if we could wrap our minds around and we memorize them, if we could really own them, it would help us know how to pray better. It would help us know how to live healthier, freer lives. It would help us when we have temptations and stuff. It would help us in any struggle we're facing. And so I'll unpack that here in a bit, but there's this one section in Romans, in this one section we're looking at, 7, 8, 9, that I want to dig into. I heard one writer put it, letters of fire on the heart, the tablets of our heart. And I love that line because I was like, that is so true. He's kind of like this one, the ending section of chapter 8 is kind of like the culmination of chapter 5, 6, 7. And now it's like it's the climax. It is he's not even asking like a logical step, or he's not laying out like all these logical steps. It's kind of like a crescendo kind of thing, right? He's taken all these little bits from this song that's played here and there throughout all that he's written up to this point, and now bringing all these notes together in this beautiful moment where it's almost like a rhetorical statements that he keeps asking, and he asks them four times and stuff. And so we'll jump into it, but there's some just beautiful promises here, and this needs to be something that you own, that you know, that at 2 a.m, if you're struggling with stress, or you're struggling with not sure what, if you've messed your life up too much, or if you don't have, you don't know where what tomorrow's going to bring, this scripture should just really bring you that peace that can only come from that. You lose a loved one tragically. This scripture promises that he's with us every step of the way. You have regrets. I have regrets. This scripture promises God's going to bring it all together, and we can count on him. So there's some beautiful stuff in here. So let's jump into the text. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Now, this is just one of the first of his four questions he asked, these rhetorical statements. But in these questions, just that for us, if God is for us, he's already been arguing up to this section how much God has proven and shown he's all in on you and I. And that should just encourage us. If we ever wonder if, I don't know if God's really, you know, he is for us, and he's going to share why he thinks that. Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Again, he's all in on you and me and the whole world and all of creation. He says, I love you this much. And Jesus holds out his hands and he took his last breath. But again, it was Friday and Sunday was coming. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Like, again, there's these factions. Oh, well, God's forgotten the Jewish people, so he likes the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. And then the Jews are going, God made a covenant, and he can't break that. So no, he can't. Just you have to be Jewish. So again, he's trying to show, listen, he hasn't chosen one over the other. Like, when God chose, okay, his chosen people, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, they were chosen to be light, to kind of like if we were on a hike, okay, you and I, we're on a trail hike and we're walking. There's a group of us, and one of us has a real bad sprain. We stumble, we fall, whatever, and we hurt our ankle. And this person is not going to be able to make the journey. We're going to need help. we pick someone from the group to go ahead and get help. We're picking someone that either knows the trail really well and is fast and has the ability to do it. Okay, that person, boom, we're picking them, go. I'm not picking them, you're not picking them, we're not picking that person because we like them better. We pick that person because we think that's going to work best. God's people were chosen to be light in the world, to help usher in who this God is, to be salt of the earth kind of thing, right? That in them, they were to be the antidote, the vaccine for what was infecting the world. But in that, the people discover they're already infected with the same disease. And that's where Jesus is the one that comes in and says, listen, I've got you covered. I'm taking it all for you. He says, he gave us his own son who's chosen for his own. No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. That we were made right. The Bible has a fancy word. It's called justification. We are justified by faith in Christ, right? And it's all true. We're justified by faith in him. And I'll break it down a little bit more here in a bit too. But the whole point is for us to know that we can have an assurance, that we can have a trust that God is with us every step of the way. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Not because of our faithfulness, but because of his faithfulness. And so it's important for you and I to lean in and trust, even when we don't know, even when we have regrets, even when we think we've messed it up. We've been made right in God. And he sees all of time in itself, in one view. He can see the front, the back, the middle, inside, outside. We just see our moment, and we see our regrets, and we have all our questions. And he says, that's good. I get it. I understand your questions. But I've made you right forever, and nothing can change that. He goes on with the next one. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. What a great image. He's for us. He's pleading for us. He's praying for us. This is one of the first times he actually even mentions this in his writings, that God is praying for us, is seeking the Lord. When you're struggling, you don't have prayers for yourself. He's praying for us. When you're not sure what to do, he's praying for us. When you have something that pops up in your normal schedule, that pops up and you're going, what's going on here? What do I do here? He's praying for us. We can take great comfort in that he's for us, not against us. Be encouraged by that. The text continues. Can anything ever separate us? Anything. This is where if you had your handwritten Bible, I would say circle that, okay? If you have it on your tablet or your device, it'd be underline it, do what you need to do. But can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I mean, he's really laying out the gambit here, right? I mean, we're not just talking like you had traffic, okay? You had some bad traffic or you didn't sleep well the night before kind of thing. Or, maybe you just, have a little hiccup with a friend or something. Things aren't going well. He's talking some deep, heavy stuff here. Calamity, right? That's not something I experience on a daily basis, right? Hunger. You can tell I don't miss a lot of meals. The reality is we're talking, can the worst things in this life, even those things, can they separate us? Even threaten with death? No, it's not despite sufferings, but through their sufferings. Somehow, the sufferings of God's people are taken up into God's purposes, not in order to add to the unique achievement of what Jesus accomplished, but in order to live out in the world so that his love might be extended yet even further. It's so crucial that we understand that sufferings don't equate God doesn't love me. If I don't have my what I have planned in life, my business fails, my COVID happens, it doesn't equal God doesn't love me, okay? We sometimes can run to those things really quickly. And I want to encourage you, this text is really just trying to, it's trying to declare with such clarity and such power that nothing can separate you and I. No, the text says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Victory is ours, not because, again, what we've done, but because of God's work through Jesus. Take great courage in that. Be free in that knowledge. Think about that. No matter your greatest mistake, your greatest regret, your greatest rebellion, could be what you're going through right now. Could be a challenging situation you're facing. Jesus says, in me, there's victory. And I can set the world to rights. I'm going to set the world to rights. How are you and I needing to surrender more to him? He's bringing it on home. I hope I'm doing it justice here for you. And I'm convinced that nothing, and he's saying it again, he's trying to come from every angle to tell you this, to tell us this. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And he goes on again, neither death. And he's like if I didn't cover it before with the calamity and hunger and even threat of death, he's like, well, I think this will cover it. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, hello, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. We still don't have those, right? We're way past that. Maybe not. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Always there. He's always there. No matter our circumstances, no matter our feelings, God is there for us. And nothing can separate us from his love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man, that's a great promise, isn't it? He's landing that plane home right there. He's trying to sum up those first eight chapters to bring it on home so that he can then, you know, we can turn the page and see some bigger things that God has for all of the church. But so crucial that you and I remember this. And that was really kind of how I wanted to land this. I want you and I to remember daily. Take moments. I shared with you a few months ago about creating a rule of life. Not that we have all these rules we have to follow, but the way we order our days. How can you and I take time, order our lives, that we can develop this flourishing relationship, these moments that God pours in us so we can persevere, these moments of openness and surrender to the Lord. We can discover again who we are in Christ, discover how much God does have invested in us, discover again and remember God's plan and purpose for the world to be a part of what he's doing. And it takes you and I to cut out, to create space. I used to call him, growing up, my old youth minister called him tag times. Remember going, tag times, what's that? He's like, time alone with God, T-A-G, tag times. I'm like, okay. We used to call them quiet times, but they don't have to be quiet. I recommend times of silence and stillness, but it can be with maybe some praise music or hymn music. You can have that and maybe read scripture, read a psalm. But I want to strongly encourage you, create moments either in the early morning or evening or middle of your day. Find and schedule moments for you to be open before the Lord, to read scripture, to let scripture read you, and in that to know of God's goodness and his love. We're going to take a few moments for the final word and the benediction. We'll be back here, but I pray that in these moments that you would seek the Lord out and think about later today where is God asking you, showing you, drawing you closer to him to say, I want more time with you. I want you to know and be overflowed with love and create that the knowing of God. The love with God doesn't grow. That sounds like a little weird, right? Like, wait, no, it's going to grow. We're growing in him, but our growth is the knowing of God. And it's in that knowing that love just fills in that growth. And so that love is always there. And that love is waiting to be poured into us. But we have to know him. And in that knowing, it gives us that opening and that space. Final word today is there's finality of his faithfulness. That the finality of what God accomplished in Jesus. That we are made right, justified by faith, by believing in the good news of Jesus as the crucified and yet risen King of the world. Hold on to that no matter what we do, God has been faithful. He's been so good and so generous with his grace We just need to drink into it and live into it and live into and out of that reality. You have some homework. Remember this, that as we're reading through the New Testament together, that we're going to have a few chapters each week. But remember that we're part of God's family. And this story isn't just something that happened, but something that's happening. It's not just a story of other people. It's our story as well. And so remember, as you read, he's not going to let us go, no matter what. We're locked in there. Our homework is Romans 10, 11, and 12. And I hope and pray it encourages you and really challenges you in your faith and in your walk with the Lord. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.